We're going to go ahead now and introduce our guest Bible study leader for the next 7 weeks. Nader Alaraj is a blessing for the Minnesota South District to help us reach out to the immigrants in our community, not just the people that are from the Middle East, but also other nations that have gathered here in the Twin Cities to call their new home. And so Nader's here to help us bridge that gap of culture, as well as to be able to help us learn how to share Christ, especially to people that are from the Muslim background. And so he's here today with us, and he'll be here for the next 7 weeks, maybe eight, depending on his wife, Georgette, who's pregnant and is going to have a baby towards the end of his teaching here in October or November. So we're glad that he's here with us. Let's welcome him with
Thank you. Let me go to that pulpit here. I'll just put my... So please turn this way. And they tell you technology helps, but you got to hold the microphone with one hand and then the tablet. How are you this morning? Is this the kickoff for fall, sort of? And you do it with an activity, and it's very exciting. It's a smaller church, but it can be that much effective. And you know, when I was in Omaha, Nebraska, before coming to the Twin Cities, we had a small Arabic fellowship, you know. We had a very small chapel in a Presbyterian church, and we were about 15 people by most, two, three, four families. And that congregation had about 500 to 600 people. In that 2 years period before I came to the Twin Cities, we had baptized three Muslims, and the whole congregation probably did not bring any new, you know, members to the church, or no conversions or no baptisms. You know why? Because God doesn't look at the numbers. He looks at servants' hearts. He looks at people who love him. And God has certain people who are going to get into the kingdom. And so that Muslim person, he's a Muslim scholar, actually, who was in Omaha. And he was looking for the truth. And we ended up meeting with him, me and the pastor of our small congregation. And we are from so many different backgrounds, you know. When you are Middle Eastern, you really don't care whether you are Lutheran, Catholic, as long as you are focusing on Christ and trying to reach out to him. That's the most important part. So we come from all different backgrounds in a very small congregation. And him, his wife, and his daughter get baptized, because they wanted to know the truth, and they looked for the truth. And we discipled them first. We didn't preach the gospel first. We discipled them first to see the truth of Christ. And then he was scholarly enough to do his, you know, research and find out, to compare the truth between the Quran and the Bible. So that's what it takes, is to be in someone's life and to have passion for Jesus. And then God will bring people to you. It's really that simple. Without that, the church wouldn't be here in Prior Lake. It wouldn't be in the United States. It wouldn't have left the Middle East, where it started. But somebody did something right, starting with Christ and his followers back in Jerusalem. So the reason I wanted to share this, how much time do I have? Just give me a time on that clock there. Just give me, should I pass the 10, before the 10? Okay, so 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. No, I know. We'll leave the longer time for the sessions, because I think we're running behind. So what I'm trying to do is, I'll just give it to you in a nutshell. The United States have been going through a big transition in the past 100 years. So I have the graph in front of me here. It says between 1911 and 2011, the birth rate of the United States have significantly changed. It started about 3.5 in the earlier in the past century, and then with the Great Depression, it went down to almost 2.0. The baby boomers helped go back to almost 4.0, and then you get the 1970s crises, and then it kept going steadily down. So the U.S. is going through a huge transition, which means what? The birth rate is low. Currently, it stands at 1.6. What does that mean? In order for the United States to maintain its political and economical status the way it is, you have to have more immigrants to sustain the economy, to sustain the country. Otherwise, the country is going to go down. There will be no more, you know, transactions. There will be no more purchasing. There will be no more trade. Who's going to do the work? When you have more seniors in 2035, there will be more seniors, 65 and older, than kids 18 and younger. That's just 10 years from now, or almost 15 years from now. So things are not going to be the same as before. You know, embarking upon the 100th anniversary of the Great Depression. So the USCIS, the Immigration and Naturalization Services of the United States, have adopted this policy of having almost 1 million immigrants come to the United States. And where are they coming? They're coming to those hubs in the United States, starting from the East Coast in New York, New Jersey, and then one of the major ones is Minneapolis. There are more than 100 nations here, and I'll share that in more details when we start the sessions. That's what we're going to share. Have a big idea about what's happening in the Twin Cities, the reality around you here, and don't exclude Prior Lake. I know Prior Lake is maybe more of an affluent, you know, community, but down the road, these apartment complexes have a lot of immigrants. And when God works, we better work with Him. When God brings people around your church, you better respond. Otherwise, you have no purpose to have a church here, or a pastor, or a congregation, or anything. So that's what this church has already acted upon by establishing the International Friendship Center, which started last month, or we're September now, so mid-July. We have already several students from different countries, if you don't already know. And they are on the pins, they have pinned them on the map outside. You can check where they come from. And there are more people that are being prayed for with the pastor and the leadership team, and they show interest to come here. I think some families from Ghana and the others from Kenya, and they're already showing interest to come here. But when people come into your church, you don't know much about them. I can take a look here and I can tell everybody was probably born here, right? You don't know much about somebody born from a different country. You don't know their culture, you don't know their language, you don't know their customs, you don't know what they are all about. How do you communicate with them? Do you shake hands? Do you not shake hands? Do you smile? Do you not smile? Do you have an eye contact? Do you not have an eye contact? What do you do with them? That's what those sessions will help you understand, especially about Islam. I'm more focused on Islam because that's... I'm not a former Muslim, but that's where I was raised, in a predominantly Muslim society. I was born in Kuwait. I'm originally Palestinian, but I'm an American citizen now too, so... Take advantage of me. You know, I'm a citizen of the world. I know a lot of things back there, and I know a lot of things here. So maybe I'm communicating something about your history that you're not too much familiar with. So all I'm saying with is let's cope with what God allowing these people to come to the United States. With these people coming here, they don't know Jesus. So why should it be your business that they know Jesus? Because you're a church. I'm not in downtown talking to strangers. This is the body of Christ, which I expect to have the passion and the love for people who do not know Jesus and one day will not be with Jesus. So we have a big heart for them. It started with the leadership team here, allowing the IFC stands for the International Friendship Center, the acronym, with the leadership of Pastor Jim and the wonderful volunteers. I would mention Diane here and Pam, I don't know where Pam is, but they are coordinating and organizing the schedule, and we have wonderful volunteers who are willing to teach out. Connie here is doing sewing, and Donna's, what are you doing? You're harassing the immigrants to come to the church. But sometimes God uses every person with their God-given talent to make a difference. And that's all it takes. Take advantage of what God has implanted in you to be His servant. That's the purpose of your life. That's the purpose this church exists. And this church is a big house, that's all. You come from different families, you just happen to congregate in one place. But this is really a family touching some other family's life. Whether it's that community outside or the IFC classes that are taking place right now, Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evening. And I think Friday for a sewing class that just started. So my purpose, and that's what the president of the LCMS said, is that we have to have intentional outreach to immigrant populations. It copes with the immigrational shift, which is changing the demographics in the United States. It's changing even the religious spectrum in the United States. But that becomes the opportunity for the church to reach out. There are three barriers. I have to mention them within that little extra time I have. There are three barriers that you might be very familiar with, especially right now in the United States, with the current status. And I'm talking about from the top to the bottom. Politics, economy, the shootings that have been taking place all over. All the stuff that's happening goes under these three categories. Number one, the church is being lukewarm. Revelation 3:16 mentions, Jesus is mentioning and talking to the church, saying, you are being lukewarm. You have forgotten your first love. Meaning, we are happy being Christians in the pews. And then go home, watch football. Today is the first day in football, right? NFL. Forgive me for saying it bluntly, but that's what's happening. A lot of Christians are being lukewarm. You're just not digging in the ground anymore. You're happy in your comfort zone. And I'm your brother in Christ from a totally different culture, and consider me to be someone who's crying out loud, saying, wake up! There's a lot of immigrants around you that need you to be in their lives. They can be at work. They can be neighbors. But you don't care anymore. You are just being lukewarm. And God doesn't, you know, offend you. He just says, if you don't change, if you don't go back to your first love, I'm going to spew you out. I'm going to vomit you. Jesus chews on your action. Chews, C-H-E-W-S. He's chewing on your thoughts and feelings. That's how you matter to Him. You are a flavor in Jesus' mouth. He chews on you. And if He finds you being lukewarm, He says, I'm going to spit you out. Second barrier, prejudice. Can we relate to that? I can be prejudiced myself. I mean, so what if I'm from a different part of the world? When I first came here, I was prejudiced, having certain ideas about Americans. You know, what has the United States done in the Middle East? You know, we can talk about it forever, right? But sometimes you're also prejudiced because you don't know who you're dealing with. I don't know them. Oh, she's wearing a hijab. Is she going to bomb herself in Walmart? But it happened 2,000 years ago. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Mexico? Islam? Guatemala? Whatever. The caravan? Whatever it is. Prejudice. And some political figures play on that tone. But what are we doing as a body of Christ? Are we being a Nathaniel or are we being a Philip who said to him, come and see. And I always use this short sentence to encourage the body of Christ. Come to the IFC and see. Come and see those immigrants. Come and see if anything good come out of those countries. Because you develop relationships with them. You pray for them. The Amazon is burning right now. We have a Brazilian family that you can pray for. That's their country. That's their beloved country. Bombings are happening in Somalia. Are you praying for the Somalis? The autistic kids for the Kenyan. Are you praying for them? Are you encouraging them? The third thing, because I have to finish, is fear. A lot of Christians are guided by fear. We're just afraid. But the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the power of love and self-discipline. Christians should never be guided by fear. We can be afraid, but we shouldn't be fearful of reaching out to others. A lot of people can make us be afraid. And believe me, the media plays a big role in that. They can portray a different picture, even for you as a Christian. But it is the Christian's job to go out in the community and see people for who they are. And that's what this ministry is doing, and that's what I'm hoping to share with you in the next 7 sessions. We'll talk more in details about Islam, but more importantly about how to interact with Muslims, and not just Muslims. We have some Catholics here and people from different backgrounds, so we can also deal with them regardless of their background. So I can keep going, as you can tell, but we have to conclude.
Thank you so much, Nader, and again, just your words here, the importance of reaching other human lives, and even though they may not be our people from our own country, but those that need Jesus, we all need Jesus, and Satan, all he does is spread lies, and we're here with the truth, so may God bless Nader, let me pray for you and pray for us. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for Nader, for his ministry here in the Twin Cities, and we ask your blessing upon him as he here shares about how to bridge with your love to the immigrant community that's around us as well as throughout the Twin Cities. And we ask that you bless all the IFCs that have started and new creation also over in Shakopee that's has a Hispanic pastor now and plans to do ESL as well. So, Lord, as our churches begin looking at how to love the immigrant, help us here at Holy Cross and bless Nader's sharing how to reach out to people that are from the Middle East as well as all countries. Again, thank you for the love that you provide for all of us. Fill us with that love. That we might take those steps to not be lukewarm, but to be totally committed to you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.